This RRFM podcast was brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, everyone, and welcome to Cobblestones Chronicles. We're going to be talking about the history of the Wairarapa. And as today, I've got a guest as well, whom I'll introduce in just a minute, because it's always very exciting to have a guest. And we'll be playing some music as usual. And I just want to mention that this weekend, spring has sprung officially, and we've got the Daffodil Festival in Carterton. So it's going to be a lovely day on this weekend in Carterton, with the steam train coming in from Wellington and going on up to Masterton. Actually, we did the trip from Carterton to Masterton one year with some friends, and it was rather lovely. But we also, unfortunately, discovered there's not very many places open for lunch on a Sunday in Masterton. Obviously, everybody has a day of rest, sensibly. So that's a little bit about today's program. But before we start, and before I introduce Heather, I'm just going to play a song. This is Andrew London, the Andrew London Trio, who writes lovely songs about New Zealand life. And this one is Ladies a Plate, which, of course, we're always being asked, aren't we? Ladies a Plate. So we bring our, we always bring a plate. So here we go.
Ladies a Plate, you've got a date with me Saturday night at the hall. Near the bandstand and ask them for more. Won't even stop while they powder the floor. Ladies a Plate, you've got a date with me Saturday night at the hall. I'll come round at 7, you'll be dressed by then. Got Brill cream all over my collar again. Your hair while I chat with your dad. You look so pretty and I don't look too bad. We'll take my own prefect if you don't mind the noise. There's a flagon of brown in the back for the boys. Our friends will all be there, I just heard today. We'll dance the whole night away. Ladies a Plate, you've got a date with me Saturday night at the hall. Stand and ask them for more. Won't even stop while they powder the floor. Ladies a Plate, you've got a date with me Saturday night at the hall. Quick step, foxtrot and waltz. When we do the gay Gordon, my mind's in a whirl. The other guys all get to dance with my girl. When supper is over, kick off our shoes. Band will start rocking them summertime blues. But the last waltz is mine, you say soft in my ear. It's the loveliest night of the year. Saturday night at the hall. We'll dance near the bandstand and ask them for more. Won't even stop while they powder the floor. Ladies a Plate, you've got a date with me Saturday night, Saturday night, Saturday night at the hall.
That was Ladies of Plate, and it's all about going to a country dance. And of course, all the ladies brought a plate, and the blokes brought a crate. Very exciting. It actually reminds me of country dances when I was a teenager, and we lived in a farming area, which is so like the Wairarapa. It's so funny. And we used to go out to the woolshed or a country hall, often a woolshed, and Saturday night was spent dancing the night away. Usually about 8 or 9 of us in each car, of course, squished in together. So I suspect very much the way that New Zealand was at the time. Now, this morning we're talking to Heather Bannister. Hello, Heather.
Hello, Jeanette.
Heather, I got to know Heather because Heather plays the banjo, and she comes along to our folk group that we do once a month. And I knew that she had a sewing machine museum, but I didn't know very much about it. So I popped in about 10 days ago, and I wanted some advice about my old sewing machine. And it was a delight, a lovely, lovely couple of hours, I think, ended up staying, because it was so lovely to see all these old sewing machines. There's a treadle sewing machine, there's hand crank sewing machines, and it's just lovely to see them. So Heather, tell us a little bit about the sewing machine museum. What got you started setting this up?
It would have to have started at my first little hand crank that was gifted to me by somebody who I'd met only once before, but she saw something in me, and she gave me this little hand crank, and I just got the quilting bug, and I loved this machine. It was just precious. And after that, I started seeing them everywhere, and they all needed saving from becoming boat anchors and bookends and other terrible things. And being like a real Kiwi who won't pay anyone to do something that you can't do yourself, I learned how to fix them and put them together, and they ended up being, and they attract each other. And so I started off with one, and then I ended up with about 100. And I got a call one day from someone from the Urban Dream Brokers, and they said, we're looking for people who can fill empty spaces with innovative, creative things. And we thought, heard that you might be a contender, and said yes, okay. And so this was something that was just going to be a 2-month pop-up wonder, and we've been there almost 9 years now, and become a bit of a we're a charity now, and we're kind of a part of the community, and we love it. Yeah, so we have sewing machines dating back to mid-1800s, right up to probably about 30, 50 years ago. The machines that are mostly in use are around about 100 years old, some maybe about 70, and they get used every day by people in the community who come in and like to use the machines just for a donation if they have it. And the community are just wonderful. They bring us fabric and sewing items, and we just have a marvellous time. So we are an official museum, but we're a museum like no other, because you can come in and use the machines and learn how to sew and just play, really. And, you know, whatever you want to do, we'll help you with it. And we have cups of tea and scones, because that's important.
I agree with you. There's nothing so important for setting up a chat and conversation than a cup of tea and a scone.
That's right, because you can't sew on an empty stomach.
No. Yeah, I agree with you. And it's it was lovely the day I popped in. It was just delightful to meet the other people who were there, apart from yourself. But it was also, it was lovely to see these old sewing machines being used. And I've seen old Singer sewing machines, in many different places around the world. And they keep going forever, don't they?
Yep. The ones that we have in use, over 100 years old, they'll go for another 100 years, and you can't say that for anything that you can buy off the shelf now, you know, however much you pay for it. They're kind of engineered to last 5 years, maybe, if you're lucky, with continual care. But, I love the sewing, the vintage and the antique sewing machines. They're so friendly. They sound beautiful. They're lovely to use. We've had children on the mama's knees sewing, and they like to turn the cranks with a hand crank, and mama will guide the fabric. And so the youngest that's sewn on one of my lovely old hand crank machines has been almost 3, and the oldest was 92. And we regularly have people coming through of all ages and types, and
that's lovely.
Everyone's happy.
And I can imagine that a lot of New Zealanders enjoy coming in, because although in the Victorian times, bringing a sewing machine was probably quite a useful thing to do, and possible, because you were coming by ship anyway.
Yeah.
But these days, people come by airplane, and of course, you're amount of luggage you can bring is very limited.
Yeah, very little. I've probably a certain amount of machines per year, as I have them available, and as the need arises, I've been able to pass on to people who have come from overseas and in difficult circumstances. And although they may have had the opportunity to have an electric machine, they've come from India or Africa or somewhere where power isn't so reliable, and an electric machine isn't affordable, and they've just become used to it's part of their life. They've become used to sewing with a hand crank or a treadle, and a new electric machine is quite frightening. And there's so very little in a new country, although they're very grateful to be here. There's so very little that, you know, reminds them of home and that they can feel comfortable with. They have to learn so much. So to be able to even come and use the machines or to have them at home, it's something precious to be able to still do something that they enjoy as they are used to. So I've passed on a few as the years have gone by, and that's been quite cool to be able to do, because people are so kind to us all the time. Crap happens all over the world, all over the country. We see it, you know, on our news and as we go around, but we're in such a good position where we are because people come in daily and donate fabric and bits and pieces or even just something to put on the table to have with a cup of tea or, you know, a few dollars here or there to help with the running. And it's a lovely place. And
It's certainly a lovely atmosphere.
Yeah.
And it's so nice because people being able to be creative.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
it's
very important.
So important.
We've had a lot of people come in who come in and said, "Oh, can I just sit for a while because it's lovely here? I want, you know, it's a nice place, and they like to see things and talk to people, be a little bit social, but they don't feel that they could actually sew because they, you know, I'm not creative. I've been told I'm not creative. I'll just hurt myself or break something." And before they've left, they've made a thing, even if it's just a little pin cushion or a little bag or something, and they leave with their head held higher. And it's really wonderful to see. I really just started the place to show off and share my machines, but there's... which are a whole nother story. but it's wonderful for all these things to be happen on the side where people are lifted up and being made to feel useful and worthy and find that they are very creative and they can do stuff and they love the old machines because they're so lovely and
they're so...
User-friendly, completely.
They are really user-friendly, the older ones are. I am, as I think I told you when I popped in, I learned to sew on a Singer treadle many, many, many years ago. And my mum had a hand crank machine, but the sewing machine that was on the treadle had belonged to my great aunt, and it was, I believe, her mother's. So it'd be my great grandmother's machine because she was the youngest girl in the family, and she left when she left home, she got the sewing machine, the treadle sewing machine. And she was born in 1900.
Yep.
So it was pre her. And I believe my sister got the machine, the actual machine, taken off the treadle and electrified.
Yep.
And as so many happened. And I'm pretty sure my sister still got that. And it's still going strong.
Being electrified doesn't stop it from being able to go back to as it was because it would have just had a motor attached to it.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
You can just yank the motor off just, and stick it back in your base and you're good to go.
Yes.
Which I've done with a lot of machines that were like... Because in the 1920s, that's when electricity came in, isn't it? Round about then?
Well, it became more common,
And so from then, machines became electric. And I get some that are 1950, 1960 even, that were electric machines, but... the electric part of it is so old, the wiring, and it's not really safe. And because people that come to the cottage, the museum, love the hand crank so much, I'll just take the motor off and whip on a hand crank, and Bob's your uncle, and we're ready to go.
And off you go.
Mm.
Yeah. And it's And you know, as we were discussing, the old machines are very easy to use and don't do anything very complicated.
No. But
I originally came to see you because I'd forgotten how to use my rather fancier electric machine.
Yes.
And used it for such a long time. It was so funny. You got me started again. And you'll be glad to know that the trousers that I was keen to repair got repaired.
Oh, great.
Yep. With the zigzag. I'm very pleased. I was very pleased with myself. It was very funny. Plus, I had another couple of things that I wanted to do, so it worked out really well. And I think one of the things that I really thought about was in early settler times, you know, when people came here from Europe, mostly, they would have, if they had a sewing machine, they would have brought it. That would have been...
Yeah, yes. Us being a small country, but we were settled by people from so many other countries around the world. And because of this, we have an absolute treasure of different kinds of machines from all over, from... not just America and England, and we from China, from Switzerland, from Italy, even.
excuse me.
Just, you know, wherever, Germany, there are so many different kinds and brands of machines. I have one wall that is specifically not Singer. Because people come in and say, oh, they think it, because it's black and old, it must be a Singer. And they say, oh, look at all these lovely Singers. And to be truthful, two-thirds of them are. But there are so many more, and they go by many different names.
Oh, cool. All right, I'm going to play another song now. And the one that I'm going to play is Made My Day, because you made my day when I came to visit you and so showed me how to use my sewing machine again. So here we go, Made My Day by Tim Finn, of course.
Oh, cool.
Bye.
That was Tim Finn, Made My Day, and a great song. And we were talking before the musical interlude about how people come to New Zealand and they, of course, as there were early settlers, if they were lucky, they were bringing things like sewing machines with them. Because, of course, there wasn't a farmers in those days. You couldn't just pop in and buy something to wear straight away. I can remember, though, that when I was a teenager, my mum used to whip up a new skirt or a top or something for me to wear for the weekend, for going out on Saturday night, of course. But it's amazing to think that, you know, in these days of disposable fashion, it doesn't get used. But you said to me that you often get people coming in and using the sewing machines.
Yes, daily. And they'll make things from, you know, pin cushion, and we've had things mended. We had a woman in on Saturday, because we open on the first Saturdays of each month in the afternoon. And this woman came in, and I'm sure she won't mind me telling her story without mentioning her name. And she was a intermediate school sewing class dropout. And I said to her, "Well, so was I." She thought, "Oh, I thought I was the only one." But she'd been told that she couldn't sew. So just don't even try. But she came in with some things to mend, and she thought that maybe if I teach her how to sew, perhaps she'd come about six times, and then maybe I'd let her near the machine. But the first time she came, she'd mended three pairs of pajamas, and she was just like so happy, and I can do things. They were wrong, you know. So that's often the way things happen. We've had wedding dresses made. We've had ball dresses taken up and, you know, made useful. Toys and bags, so many things. Yeah. Yep.
It's amazing that we have the opportunity of remaking things, making them over. And that's, of course, what our early settlers did in New Zealand.
Yes.
They would make things, and they would remake things, and they would let hems down, take hems up, take things in, let them out again, so that it was repurposed.
That's right.
Nothing was thrown away.
Nothing at all.
That's cool. I noticed earlier you got that lovely framed certificate.
Oh, yes. I've got a couple of things. Just to show where some of our machines come from, this machine, this is a certificate of a receipt from a machine that was sold to a woman in Hong Kong who bought it from the school that her daughter, St. Paul's Girls College in Hong Kong, and she bought it secondhand for her daughter for $164. And her daughter passed it down to her daughter, and it was passed down to the next daughter. So the granddaughter of the child who was given this machine and treasured it so much, she took it round with her all over the world, and then she decided finally, "I'd like to pass it on to the Come Sew With Me collection," because she was ready after all those years to pass it on so that it would be But so that's just like it. It was so precious it couldn't be left anywhere. Not only was it precious, but it was useful, and so it was used all that time. And we've also got a wee note here to explain a treadle machine that was gifted to us by Isabel Morgan Nee McClimate. Now, the story here. This machine was probably bought in Masterton. It was in 1917 and 18. There were two of them that were brought from the WFCA, which was a general store come petrol station. And it was bought for, two of them were bought for sisters who were aunts of, is it Gary Graham McClimate? He was a council, or was a council at one stage. So yeah, that was pretty special. So that was bought in Masterton, and it travelled with the daughter, and she took it into her marriage and would have used it to sew for her children. It was travelled all around New Zealand and finally was sent back here to have a home in Masterton where it would be appreciated and seen and used. And I really enjoyed cleaning and getting that back up to speed. Another thing we find with the machines that come, that they have all sorts of interesting things in the cabinet drawers, and a lot of the bits and pieces come in tins. Here we go. And there, where's our...
So have those, for those of you who are watching on TV, you can see that Heather's holding up some tins of things, yeah, and bits and pieces. So that if you're just listening, these are very old tins, and what's in them?
Well, this one was Myrtle Grove Pure Virginia Tobacco, so that would have come from America.
Yeah.
And it's got a safety pin and a few pins.
It's got some pin.
And here we've got some bits and pieces, and a medicated throat pastilles, antiseptic and soothing. And that has some...
That bits. Tin looks as if it's been around for quite a long time.
Yeah. Elastoplast first aid dressings with words are going.
Tins are such useful things, aren't they?
Silk cut Virginia tobacco.
Another tobacco.
And the buttons, some of them have been recovered to match the, absolutely hard case, the things that you find. We found in our drawers, we found a love letter in, and that was in, fluttered my heart. It was inside a card folded over and over and over with thread wrapped around it. And it was a love letter, and I gave it back to the family who donated the machine. And it was for an aunt who, there were two aunts and neither of them married, and none of the family knew that she had a special person that she, you know, had, and so that obviously it didn't come to anything in the end, but like, She had the love letter, and that was quite special. I've found bullets. I've found there were a dollar note. Remember a dollar note? Yeah, bits and pieces that are just really fun and interesting. Some of them have got something to do with sewing, and other things have got nothing to do with sewing. But there would always be one drawer that could be locked, and that kids couldn't get into. And so, you know,
so that was often special.
Yeah,
things in there.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And
the good old oil.
sewing machine, Singer yeah. sewing machine oil.
And there's a special thing. I get the every time I open it. This is the sewing, the housewife, the sewing kit of Officer Meldrum, Private Meldrum, who his number's there. And so he was a Welsh private who served in Egypt, because you can look up the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so he had in his sewing kit buttons. That's an old thread. Anchor, Clarks and Co. and the thimble. Because the soldiers, they had to do their own sewing. They had to sew their own buttons on. You can't lose a trouser button when you're rushing the enemy, can you?
Well, no, I would think not.
So that's, you know, some of the special things. And the patterns are, like, so very old. And sometimes there would be the pattern that would come in the women's magazine, you know, once a month, and one of the women would get it, and then it would be used and shared around and copied and shared around. And then maybe at the dance, where the ladies are bringing a plate and the men are bringing a crate, they'd all have the same pattern and different fabric.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's all.
And yeah. Perhaps with because there were some very basic patterns, weren't there?
Yes. But you could do different things with them.
Well, often the collar or the sleeves or was make something look a bit different.
That's right. And depending on what you had to sew with, you might not have quite enough, so you'd have to add something else to it and may have to make it look like the design element rather than the need be.
Yes.
Yeah, which is what we still do.
Yep, that's right. I'm just going to play another song, and because I wanted to play this one particularly, it's called I Hugged Me Mate.
Oh, bless.
By Andrew London. It's a slightly it's a satirical song, and it's about, you know, oh my goodness, I hugged me mate. Here we go.
Now I'm a Kiwi through and through, I'm an all-black follower just like you. I grew up watching Pine Tree on TV. He'd score a try between the posts and trot on back with the blokes with no display of joyfulness or glee. And I was brought up similarly, we don't emote spontaneously and we try to avoid displaying affection publicly.
Displaying affection publicly.
But something happened the other night that I'd like to share with a group tonight that signifies a strange anomaly. I was having a beer with a mate, you see, or a shandy it might have been actually, and he was telling me things as grim as they could be. He'd lost his job at the florist shop and got pulled over by a traffic cop who booked him on the spot for DIC. And his wife had run off with his kids and shacked up with a mate of his who was consequently behaving quite aloof and rather smug.
Quite aloof and rather smug.
Well, I don't know what came over me, but just as we got up to leave, well, bugger me, I gave my mate a hug.
You hugged your mate.
I hugged me, mate.
You hugged your mate.
I hugged my mate. By the time I realised what I'd done, it was just a bit too late. He was big and he was hairy and he was understandably wary and it was scary. But I hugged me, mate. Yeah, what's that for? He said to me, and I mumbled about solidarity and being there for your mates when times get tough. So he wandered off and I fretted a bit, but he seemed to soon get over it and things got back to normal soon enough. But I was down the pub just after that, and I was having a Pimm's with another chap on a Thursday, when they do that excellent Dylan salmon quiche.
Do that Dylan salmon quiche.
And he looked distracted as we dined, so I said, what's on your mind? He said he'd heard I'd hugged me, mate, and what was it like? Well, I said at first it was rather strange. We both felt awkward at this rearrangement of the traditional way that Kiwi blokes behave. But I said that a moment of intimacy had been enjoyed by my mate and me, and it might have been even nicer actually had he shaved. And I said I thought we should be allowed to show affection even in a crowd and not be afraid to let it out so everyone can tell.
So everyone can tell.
Well, he looked confused and a little sad and told me how he missed his dad at Stone the Crows. I hugged this bloke as well.
You hugged your mate.
I hugged me, mate.
You hugged your mate.
I hugged me, mate. By the time I realised what I'd done, it was just a bit too late. He was big and he was hairy and he was understandably wary and it was scary. But I hugged him, mate. So we've all gotten used to it now. We don't fret anymore about how we show affection indiscriminately. And we get together, put the world to rights on our regular Downton Abbey nights in the spa pool with a tall banana daiquiri. And as Dave and I drove home last week from the ballet, I began to speak about how sensitive and caring we Renaissance chaps can be.
Renaissance chap can be.
And he agreed we certainly had progressed, said he rather liked the way I dressed, changed gear and put his hand back on my knee.
You hugged your mate.
I hugged my mate.
You hugged your mate.
I hugged my mate. By the time I realised what I'd done, it was just a bit too late. He was big and he was hairy and he was understandably wary and was scary. But I hugged my mate. I was sensitive and caring and I hugged my mate. So get out there and hug your mate.
Hugs Me Mate, which I think is a delightful song, because we all know that blokes don't often hug each other, unlike us girls who are known to have give it a hug. In the last 5 minutes or so, I was going to talk to you about how women in particular use sewing machines to transform the houses into their homes. And I know one of the things that often bits of material ended up as quilts. And I know you're a bit of a quilter. So what's the attraction with quilting?
I am a bit of a quilter. And people say, can sometimes say, often do actually, quilting is such an expensive hobby, and other quilters will say that too, because proper quilting fabric is very expensive, and if you buy all the special equipment that's available, yeah, you're it is a very expensive thing unless you go use it. Do quilting in a way that our, not forefathers, foremothers used to do, and as a way of necessity, because you had to use up every little scrap of everything, and if a thing wore out, well, it only wore out in one place, and there was still part of it that was usable, and you could make such beautiful quilts out of little bits of everything. And so, and we often get given a lot of fabric that's, you know, just wee bits, and we can cut that into pieces. I often, if we have bits left over, I cut that into uniform size squares, and then if somebody doesn't quite know what to do, well, we could make a quilt, whether it's a big quilt or just a quilted bit of patchwork for a bag or something, and you get to see all sorts of lovely bits in there. Well, all the memories are wrapped up in the quilts when you use a bit of this and a bit of that, and you can look at it and you can say, oh, that piece was, you know, a child's dress. I remember that it came from. Oh, look at this! It has a cat on it. Oh, I like the pink on that. I wonder where that stripe came from. You know, it's and every time you look at a quilt like that, you see something different, and it's a bit special. And that's the kind of quilting that I like to do, and that often happens.
I think that's lovely, because yes, that's the old-fashioned way of quilting, was to use up scraps of material or cut up things that had worn out in some places, but there were still good bits of material left, or something that had been torn or, you know, wasn't able to be repaired.
Yeah.
But you can still remember it.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, that's yeah, that's my favourite.
Oh, lovely. It's been lovely to have you here, Heather, talking about the sewing and the Sewing Machine Museum. And I know that anyone who's got a sewing machine that isn't in use anymore, I wonder...
It's not allowed to go to the tip. That's all I can say.
So bring it in to the Sewing Machine Museum, which is
come sew with me at number 1 Park Ave. Our back entrance, which if you're going to bring something, that's the best way to come because there's a car park then, is right across from the back of the police station in Park Ave. Or if you want to, the scenic route is coming through the park gates that are just across from the garage in Dixon Street, which is the Parkview Garage. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so right across from there there's the park gates and you just walk through and the little cottage on the right is, that's us.
That's you. And you're assured of a warm welcome and a cup of tea and jolly good scone as well.
Jolly good scone.
Very good scones. And if you want to learn to sew?
Yeah, you just come in and play.
Yep, just have a little go on the machines.
That's right.
You can try out lots of different ones.
Mm. Yes, and it doesn't, you don't have to bring anything because people are kind and we have it all.
Great. And believe me, there is something for everyone there. It's just delightful. Okay, so we will say goodbye with a little bit of Tim Finn again and say we'll look forward to, thank you for listening this morning, and we'll look forward to another session in 2 weeks' time. Now, here we go with Tim Finn, Weather With You. And I noticed this morning as I was driving up from Carterton, there's snow on them, their tops again.
Is. I saw those.
Lots of snow. Here we go. Take the weather with you.
Walking round the room singing stormy weather. 7 Mount Pleasant Street. Well, it's the same room, but everything's different. You can fight the sleep, but not the dream. Things ain't cooking in my kitchen. Strange affliction washed over me. Julius Caesar in the Roman Empire. The blue sky. Well, there's a small boat made of China. It's going nowhere on the mantelpiece. Well, do I lie like a lounge room lizard? Sing like a bird released. Everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, you always take the weather. Everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. Everywhere you go, you always take the weather with you. Thank you.
Well, that's it for today's program. Lovely to be with you. I hope you've enjoyed the reminiscing and maybe had a think about going to learn to sew again. Believe me, Heather has immense patience. So thank you, Heather, for coming in, and have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week. Back in a couple of weeks' time. Bye.